a 10-point lead or 11-point lead with 1:13 left and did not execute down the stretch. And that's something that we've been working on, even in the smallest of moments, execute at the end of a possession. The end of a shot clock is an area where we really need to improve defensively. So I think the other thing is with Dayton and the rivalry, like whatever we did that was successful, of course they're going to have a counter for it. And same for us. Whatever they did that worked against us, we have a counter ready. So I do love the fact that there's such a long-term rivalry here and that both teams, both coaches, the players are going to rise up to those moments.
Finally, the tempo, you know what Dayton wants to do. You're just going to join them in a game in the 70s again?
We do like to score it. I would not like Dayton to score 70. And I do think a big focus for us is how well they rebound. And we've got to have, you know, a toughness, a physicality to come and rebound with Dayton.
All right. We thank Rebecca Tillett. We'll go back to courtside. All right. Tamika Williams Jetter is busy with Chalk Talk. She's talking to the constituents. So we got Daryl Hudson here. I'm happy for that. We've had him before, but we haven't really broken down a game or a team.
All right, well, we don't need to hear from that again. I don't know what happened there. Flyers in their last game, 64-40 through winners over St. Bonaventure, clobbering the Bonnies on the boards 45-22, winning the second half 40-25. Anissa Jones, 16 points. Of course, Ariana Smith, 17 rebounds. Ivy Wolf, 16 points. Destiny Bohannon, 12 points. So that's going to conclude our pregame. I'll just go ahead and hang here. We have the color guard coming out. We'll get ready for the national anthem momentarily. I can tell you that St. Louis comes in 8-13 overall. More on that, but let's listen to our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through perilous fight. Oh,
the starting lineups momentarily. Flyers lead this all-time series 24-8, but they've lost the last three. I mentioned the 11-point loss to Richmond at home by St. Louis Sunday. Peyton Kennedy led them with 20 points. St. Louis is 3-5 in league action. Conference wins other than the Flyers, UMass by 4 and George Mason by 10. Their losses other than Richmond are Rhode Island by 5, Loyola by 2, St. Joe by 12, and the freight train called George Mason by 30. Non-conference, they did have an impressive win over a team from the SEC, the Missouri Tigers. So let's get to the starting lineups right now. First of all, for the Billikens, I should mention Kevin Fahey, Cynthia Doe, David Troyan are the officials. For the Billikens, they come in averaging 71 a game and giving up 75. They are plus one on the rebounds. They average 15 assists and 18 turnovers a game. Kyla McMakin, the 5'11 grad student, averages 16.4 points per game. Ocean Lakes High School, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Kennedy Calhoun, 5'5 junior, averages 5 points a game. Hickory Ridge High School, Harrisburg, North Carolina. Julia Martinez, 5'10 grad student, averages 8.2 points a game. Loyola Academy, Chicago. Arcavia Shavers, 6'2 junior, averages 5.5 points a game. Biloxi High School in Mississippi. Peyton Kennedy, 5'11 senior, averages 14.4 a game. Boylan Catholic High School, Rockford, Illinois. Again, for the Billikens, McMakin, Calhoun, Martinez, Shavers, and Peyton Kennedy. As they introduce the Flyers, they are coming in 9-11. They score 65 a game and give up 69 per contest, plus 9 on the rebounds. The Flyers average 13 assists and commit an average of 18 turnovers per contest. Mentioned St. Louis's woes in the first and third periods. Flyers don't exactly do great in the first period either. They've been outscored by 43 on the season. The second period, they've been outscored by 51. So we'll see if a fast start tonight can happen for them. They will come out with the same starting five from Sunday, and that would be Anissa Jones, the transfer from Ohio State, Westerville South High School. She is a 5'10 senior, averaging 9.4 points per game. Ariana Smith, transfer from Indiana State, 6'2 junior, after Centric High School in Columbus, and she averages a double-double. 10.2 points a game and 11.3 rebounds. We'll tell you later on in the broadcast how that computes nationally in terms of rebounds, especially in the offensive end. Ivy Wolf, 5'8 junior, transfer from Miami of Ohio, Minster High School. Team's leading scorer, 12.4 points per game. Mariah Perez, 6'3 grad student, Newark Tech High School out of New Jersey. Perez averaging 7.4 points per game. And finally, Destiny Bohannon, 5'10, redshirt senior, Wayne High School, Huber Heights. Destiny Bohannon is averaging 11 points per game. So again, for the Flyers, Jones, Smith, Wolf, Perez, and Bohannon. So we'll get underway here shortly, but I always like to follow how the young ladies who have played their basketball in the Miami Valley are doing on a national level, and I'll tell you, one of them is tearing it up. The Associated Press National Player of the Week is Cody McMahon, the 6-foot sophomore who went to Centerville High School. She only had 33 points and 12 rebounds in their big win over Iowa, which was nationally televised by NBC. She had 14 points and 9 rebounds against Maryland. Both those performances earned her the AP National Player of the Week. Now, overall on the season, she is averaging 14 points a game, 6 rebounds, and 28 minutes of action. All right, speaking of action, we'll get underway with the game coming up momentarily. After today, the Flyers will go on the road. They will play Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock in Philadelphia against LaSalle. And then they will play at the oldest arena, just still in use. That's at Fordham at the Bronx next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So we don't join you again until February the 11th. That is a Sunday afternoon at Super Bowl Sunday. And that's a noon game. And as I mentioned before, the freight train of George Mason will be here, and they seem very, very unstoppable at this point. So we'll get underway here momentarily. I always like to go over this. If somebody says they're listening to the game and they're hearing the reference to the Billikens, what's a Billiken? Well, I can't really tell you that it's anything concrete. I can tell you that it's a mythological good luck figure who represents things as they ought to be. There's a bronze statue on the SLU campus. It's been there since 1995. And supposedly, if you rub the belly, it will bring you good luck. If you don't, I guess you're having 7 years of bad luck. I don't know. The design was patented in 1908 by a Missouri art teacher. And interestingly enough, in Argentina, Billiken is the world's largest running children's magazine. In Japan, there is a wooden Billiken statue existing. And in Alaska, the Eskimos have a Billiken wood carving. And in Chicago, their schools start with the annual Bud Billiken Parade, which none of that has anything to do with St. Louis, but I did have some time to kill. So St. Louis comes out in the road uniforms. That would be all blue, trimmed in white. The Flyers, typical home uniforms, white trimmed in red and blue. And we will get underway. Of course, St. Louis graduated the 6'7 Brooke Flowers. She's actually a grad student manager here tonight. Very happy to see her not in uniform. So they do not have Brooke Flowers jumping it up. Instead, they have jumping it up I believe that's Shavers against Ariana Smith, and a pretty even draw, but the loose ball comes to St. Louis, and we get underway with this one. Flyers start out in some 2-3 zone configuration, and St. Louis is whipping the ball around on the perimeter right now. Looks like Ivy Wolf is going to check Kyla McMakin, at least to start this game. She's going to follow her around. St. Louis is under 10 on the shot. And it is McMakin over Wolf from the left side. It's badly off the mark. St. Louis tries to save it in. They can't do so. And the ball goes out of bounds. Abby, do you have any idea if we can get to the stat monitor? Otherwise, I probably would... Ah, there it is. Thank you. I would have, who knows what that would have been on. So St. Louis fails on their first possession. Flyers have it. And checking Ivy Wolf is Kennedy Calhoun. And there's the Wolf shot right side from 10, and she gets it down. Ivy's been on her shot the first two games of this homestand. She picks it up right away, and the Flyers lead it 2-0. And Julia Martinez has the ball, uses a pick. Now in the left elbow, the ball is maneuvered around Calhoun at the free throw line, backs up. Wolf forces her to back up. Now driving is McMakin, traveled no call, and she swishes a one-handed push shot in. Billiken shoot 42%. I mean, these team stats are very even. Billiken's are 42% from two-point land. The Flyers 41%. Billiken's 30% from three-point line. The Flyers are at 31. Free throw shooting, not much of a disparity either. We'll get to that in a minute. 2-2, a minute and a half in. Dayton has 10 seconds to shoot. And Jones on the baseline is cut off. Bad pass intended for Perez. It's picked off by Calhoun. Calhoun runs the break. She finds underneath Martinez. Reverse layup doesn't go. But picking it up with Shavers, and she walked. So Billiken's free throw line overall 76%. Dayton at 72%. Both teams have had their good moments this year, and then they've had their moments that really need some Tums to digest. Wolf loses the defender, stops and pops from 10, got it in. Front of the rim, back of the rim, and it's score. So Ivy Wolf 4, St. Louis 2, 2 minutes into the game. Calhoun front court. Wolf forces her under the basket. It's kicked out. Peyton Kennedy misses from the right side, and a long rebound is taken down by Anissa Jones. Jones into the front court. Calhoun picks her up just past the timeline. Over to Wolf. Better start for Dayton than they've had some of these last few games. Wolf double teamed to Perez. Perez will take the 10-footer right side, in and out. But there's Ariana Smith, the human vacuuming rebounding machine. Into Wolf, she will drive. She's cut off, draws double coverage to Perez, basket. Oh, she missed it. She went long, and she was maybe, as they say, too wide open. St. Louis looks to tie. Martinez in traffic, kick out. They can take the lead with this Payton three. Nope, it's off the mark. And Wolf is there for the rebound. Ivy front court. Calhoun cuts her off. St. Louis is going to make a substitution. They're going to bring in Brooklyn Gray, 5'11 sophomore, who averages 11.3 a game. That'll be at the whistle opportunity. Perez with 10 on the shot, inside to Jones. Jones played by McMakin. Jones now weaves out of traffic. And now 6 to shoot. Wolf's going to probably have to shoot it. No, Wolf gets it over. Here's Smith at the top of the key. Ariana off the mark. Good defense overall by St. Louis. No easy opportunities for Dayton on that offensive possession. Calhoun drives, splits two defenders, slips, almost hit the baseline, but bullet pass over, basket good by Shavers, who's at 52% from field goal, two-point land. Ties us at 4, 3.5 minutes in. No fouls yet in this game. Ivy Wolf calls play one. Now it's Bohannon in front of Rebecca Tillett in the St. Louis bench. A screen. And here's a pass too high for Wolf. Can she save it in? She did a miraculous job. No, they're going to call Wolf. I thought Wolf threw it off the St. Louis defender and out of bounds, but they're going to say Wolf was out of bounds first. Official helped her up. Very gentlemanly of him. I mentioned Shavers is in the lineup. Gray, I'm sorry, check that. Brooklyn Gray, Auburn High School, Rockville, Illinois, 5'11 sophomore. Where's number 45? She has the ball. Now it's Julia Martinez. We will see Shannon Wheeler come in for Dayton the next opportunity, but right now it's McMakin. Good defense. She forces up a shot. Jones stuck with her, and McMakin could not make the shot. And Ariana Smith front court hits the trailer, and Wolf. We're tied at 4, 4 minutes into this game. Dayton 2 of 5 from the field, 2 of 7 for the Bills. Smith's cut off in the paint. Smith has to get rid of it. Hits it to the weaving Bohannon. She throws up an air ball, and they're going to call a charge on Destiny Bohannon. So Shannon Wheeler comes in, averaging 4.7 points per game. Mariah Perez is out. Wheeler, 6 foot junior, out of Renaissance High School in Detroit. Again, Flyers tied in this game. They are winning the battle of the rebounds. We'll keep watching that tonight. They're winning it by a 5-2 advantage. McMakin, they will post, and we're going to go the other way. I think it's a push-off on Peyton Kennedy. First team foul for St. Louis. And we're at the 5:31 mark of the first period. Neither team able to get on track offensively that much, as the game is in the 70s the first time. Wolf uses a screen by Smith. Now we'll dribble it out between the circles. Wolf looking for room. Wolf got bumped. Foul on Kennedy Calhoun. First foul for her. Team second, as Wolf is helped up by Bohannon. Blocking foul. Dayton has 20 to shoot. Referee says somebody's got inbounded. Bohannon will do so. Bohannon gets it into Wolf. Back to Destiny. Outside the three-point stripe, she draws double coverage. Julia Martinez goes for the steal. Nearly got it. Wolf now has her pass batted out of bounds. She did a good job screening Calhoun from being able to pick that ball up. Good basketball IQ. 5:09 to go first quarter. 11 seconds to shoot in a tie game at 4. Bohannon loops the ball into Smith. Over to Wolf. 10 to shoot. Ivy draws double coverage again. They're trapping her. And they take Dayton out of their offensive flow. Here's a three by Wheeler, and it doesn't go. Rebound, McMakin. Quickly up Calhoun. Wolf back. She drives, and Ivy drew the charge. That's Kennedy Calhoun's second foul, and that brings us to our media timeout. We have a defensive game going on here. Ivy Wolf 4, St. Louis 4. We'll hear from our underwriters.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD Women's Basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during games on the radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Dominica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-in Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
4-4 game, get you caught up on a busy day in the A-10. Tonight, this one's surprising me, George Washington has struggled. Rhode Island is playing there, and I'll keep you up to date, but right now it's 26 all at the half. Richmond is off tonight. Davidson is at St. Bonaventure. Fordham is at George Mason. St. Joseph's is at Loyola. Now this afternoon, VCU defeated Duquesne. They broke open a close game in the fourth quarter in front of their Education Day crowd of 5,324. VCU wins this game 64-51. They won the fourth quarter 27-15. Tibiasu, heck of a player, 26 points, 7 of 12 from the three-point stripe, including VCU overall as a team, very efficient, 10 of 21 from three-point land. Then you had the Flyers' next opponent, LaSalle, rallying to win at UMass 63-61. UMass had 3,069 for their education game today. LaSalle won the fourth quarter 25-14. For LaSalle, with 3 seconds left, 2 free throws by Miller won it. For UMass, Rose had 18 points. For LaSalle, Armendariz had 16 points. As we look at the standings, right now St. Joe and Richmond are in the lead at 8-1. George Mason right behind at 7-1. VCU 7-2. Duquesne at 7-3. Rhode Island at 6-3. Loyola at 5-4. Then for under 500 teams, Davidson is at 4-5. St. Louis is at 3-5. The Flyers and LaSalle are at 3-6. Fordham's at 2-7. Let's see here. UMass is at 2-8. George Washington 1-7. And St. Bonaventure brings up the rear at 1-8. All right, I'm looking to see if there are any substitutions, and I am not seeing. I'm seeing Tierra Simon, the 6'1 junior who averages 4.7 a game for St. Louis in the lineup. She's from Heights High School out of Houston, Texas, wears number 12. Dayton with the ball, 20 to shoot. It's dumped underneath to Wheeler. She has it on the right baseline. They trap her, and they force the turnover. She throws it right to Julia Martinez. That trap is definitely bothering the Flyers. Here's a pass underneath the basket for Simon. She hits the bottom of the backboard. And away we go. Who's going to break the four-all tie? Approaching 4 minutes to go first quarter as the turnovers are adding up. 4 for Dayton, 3 for St. Louis. There's a trap on Bohannon. Up to Smith. 10-foot pop right side. Airballs it, overshot everything, and Julia Martinez. They look to break the four-all tie. Martinez front court in front of the UD bench. I thought the Flyers got off to a good start, but it turns out it's a slow start for both these teams. It's kind of canceling it out. Peyton Kennedy gives it off with 10 on the shot. Here's Brooklyn Gray driving. Leaves two defenders in their shoes and puts it home. St. Louis with the lead. Peyton hasn't scored for 4 minutes. Billikens broke a 2.5-minute drought, not scoring. Now Wolf uses a screen. She will. Oh, they're going to say Ariana Smith knocked Martinez to the ground. And Nani, as she is called, picks up her first foul on the team's second at the 3:34 mark. And here is Nia Lear into the Dayton lineup. She averages 3.7 points per game. Lear, the 5'10 sophomore from Example Sports Academy out of South Holland, Illinois. And she's played very well the last couple games, cutting down turnovers and actually playing very good defense, especially on the steals aspect. Gray drives. She's cut off, so the ball's out to Peyton Kennedy. Now McMakin. She draws double coverage. Lear almost got the steal, but McMakin drives, lost her, and she put it in. With a move that I think pro scouts, not necessarily WNBA, but pro scouts overseas would like to see. St. Louis up 8-4. Now Dayton hasn't scored for 5 minutes. Lear bullet pass underneath Wheeler. Got fouled. She'll go to the line to shoot a pair. Fouls on Tierra Simon. Her first. She's fourth. Shannon Wheeler at the line. 57% on the season. Bring Dayton back within a deuce. First one's off. And here comes E. Fiala, the 6'4 freshman, who averages about a point, actually 1.5 points per game. Fiala, Indiana area senior high school out of Pennsylvania. Wheeler hits the second free throw. It makes it an 8-5 game. And Ariana Smith was going to leave. And she is going to leave. Just kind of looking at Wheeler saying, you go. No, I guess I go. I just know we need six people not to be on the court. That would be an administrative technical. We've seen those before. So St. Louis up despite four fouls this period. 2:45 clock rolling. It's a three-point lead for the Bills. Driving is Martinez. She stops at the free throw line. Double team. Bad pass, and Wheeler picks it off. Peyton Kennedy had no chance at that one, and the Flyers almost cough it up. Again, St. Louis plays very aggressive, gambling defense, and they did deflect that ball before it went out of bounds. So Nia Lear will throw it in. Does so to Wolf. Ivy draws that double-team trap. Dayton has to move the ball quickly to get somebody open when they trap. Bohannon, an open three. She'll take it right side. She will miss it, and it hits the top of the backboard. So the ball's out of bounds to St. Louis. As the Flyers will back off and not press. I don't remember seeing all this half-court trapping by St. Louis in the first game. But again, when you play a team 19 days later, normally you need to put a wrinkle out there to try to stymie them. And I'd say overall for St. Louis, it's worked, as Dayton's only 2 of 8 from the field. Brooklyn Gray drives. It's a floater from 10. So 4 points for her off the bench. And St. Louis has doubled up Dayton 10-5 under 2 minutes to go. Lear drives. Reverse layup comes up short. And I think Lear has just, no, are they going to say Wheeler? She has picked up her first foul in the team's third. Rebounds now at 6 apiece. St. Louis looks to grow the 5-point lead. They'll jump underneath, give and go. Macon doesn't get it, but Lear fouled her. Kyla will go to the line. Nio's first foul. Macon at the line this year is at 79%. I've got a stat for you that you will find interesting about Macon. Coming into this game, she has 2,587 collegiate points. That's the third highest active D1 score. Make it 2,588 now, and she connects on the first. That gives her 5 points in this game. At her Virginia high school, she added 1,990 points to go along with 1,055 rebounds. She cans both of those. She has 6 points. It's now 12-5. Right in front of us, Wolf with it on the right side. To Bohannon. Shavers ready to come back in for St. Louis. They give Wheeler an open lane, and she hits a 10-foot floater in the lane. She's got 3 points. Two Flyers have scored in this game. They trail at 12-7. McNakin shoots. It won't count. Thank goodness, because it went in. We have a Dayton foul. St. Louis wanted the basket. And Anissa Jones picked up the foul. That's her first. And that means that Dayton's over. And that is going to put Peyton Kennedy at the line. She's at 83% on the season. Kennedy has had 7 games of 20 or more points this year. The business slash marketing major. Her season best, 26 points against LaSalle last year. She was in 25 games. At her Illinois high school, over 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds. Kennedy hits the first. One more coming. It's her first point of the evening. Next one's good. Substitution. We're going to see Mia Nicastro, 6'2 sophomore, averages 1.6 points per game. St. Charles West High School, St. Charles, Missouri. That's a suburb of St. Louis for those of you who are not initiated to the Show Me State of St. Louis's geography. 14-7 game, approaching 1 minute. Fiala has the ball. Reverse hook, can't get it. Wheeler, though, for the rebound. Up over Nicastro, good. And Wheeler, 5 off the bench. Keeping Dayton close, 14-9, and there's a bad pass. That's thrown away. Gray couldn't control it. That is turnover number 4 for the Billikens. And the Flyers have 55 seconds with the clock going down by 5 points. Front court, Ivy Wolf. There's a flip to Wheeler. Wheeler, they give her another 10-footer. This one's going to come up too long, and Kyla McMakin has the rebound. Driving all the way is Martinez. She'll bank it up. It's too hard. It's tapped, but the ball comes to Bohannon quickly up. A little pass is too long for Anissa Jones, and out of bounds, turnover number 6 for Dayton. And Camry Cleggs, a 5'5 grad student, averages 5.6 points per game. She is in the lineup for Brooklyn Gray. St. Louis will hold it for 1, leading the game 14-9. On the strength of 6 points for Kyla McMakin. 15 seconds to go. It's Clegg, guarded by Bohannon. We're down to 6. Underneath, spin move in the lane, Shavers, and she gets the basket. Markavia has 4, and that's a good first quarter for St. Louis. For Dayton, not so. St. Louis 16, Dayton 9. Second quarter action after this.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD Women's Basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
So nationally, there have been some good things going on for some of the athletes in the A-10. Julia Martinez of the Billikens, averaging 6.4 assists per game. That is seventh nationally. Laura Ziegler of St. Joseph's, 8 defensive rebounds a game. That is fifth nationally. Rhode Island's Sophie Phillips is 6th nationally. She has connected on 176 three-pointers this year. Rhode Island is here for the home season finale on Saturday, March 2nd, by the way. Davidson's Canes, 7th nationally in three-point field goal percentage at almost 48%. And Ariana Smith of the Flyers is 6th nationally in offensive rebounds, almost 5 of those per contest. As for the Hardware A-10 Awards, your Player of the Week. She didn't have a very good game today, but Meg McConnell of Duquesne averaged 12.5 points and 11.5 rebounds. Your Rookie of the Week, third straight week, George Mason sophomore Zariah Walton averaged 18 points and 12.5 rebounds. Some other good performances last week, Anissa Jones of the Flyers averaged 15.5 points a game. St. Joe's Mackenzie Smith averaged 16 points a game. Sarah Tibiasu averaged 20.5 points per game. That doesn't even account for her 26-point performance in the victory over Duquesne this afternoon. So, leading scorers in this game, Kyla McMakin for St. Louis has 6 points. I can just give you all the scoring. Shavers has 4, Gray has 4, and 2 points for Payne Kennedy. For Dayton, this won't take long. Wheeler off the bench has 5, and Ivy Wolf has 4. And that's 9. And we'll get underway with the second quarter. Kalisha Keene, one of the UD assistant coaches, had a chance to get to the Cronin Center earlier this month. Had a wonderful talk with her. You will hear that 14-minute or so interview coming up at halftime, so please stay with us. It's Wheeler, Fiala, Wolf, along with Jones and Bohannon. It's Clegg along with Shavers, McCastro, McMakin, and Kennedy Calhoun. Those are the 5 players on each team. Dayton has the basketball. Wheeler bullet pass deep in the corner. Anissa Jones left side. Back out to Wheeler at the free throw line. Draws double coverage and coughs it up to Clegg, who falls down but is able to get the basketball to Kyla McMakin. Back over to Cameron Clegg. Camry Clegg. I knew I'd say Cameron at some point. Clegg bouncing the ball. Now McMakin, a deep three. It's off the side of the backboard. It comes to Nicastro, and she comes up short. St. Louis gets it back, and they'll get a third opportunity here, leading by 7. Driving is Clegg. Over to McMakin. She is blocked cleanly by Anissa Jones. And Fiala comes up with a loose pumpkin. Quickly up court to Bohannon. Bohannon, bad pass. Wolf's able to track it down, and they're going to say she touched the end line, which I don't think she did, but that's what the official call is, so it's over the back, over and back, and that's a Dayton turnover. And Ariana Smith is in. Nia Lear is in. Bohannon and Wheeler are out. And after the errant pass and unforced turnover, Billiken ball. Flyers have hit 2 of their last 10 shots. That's one reason they're down 16-9. Here just underway in the second quarter. St. Louis has 2 substitutions coming in, including Kennedy and Gray at the next dead ball. But here's a 3, and it's nailed by Camry Clegg. That balloons the lead to 19-9. Now Lear drives. Lear falls down. There's a turnover. Quickly up court, they throw it away as Wolf was ready for it. Bullet pass. Lear basket is good. 19-11. I think it could have been 21-9, but Dayton took advantage of the bad pass. Billiken's trying to fast break. Now underneath Shavers as Ifiala blocks it off the backboard. Clean block by the 6'4 freshman. Wolf double-teamed, hits Fiala at the free throw line, extended. Underneath for Smith. Bobbles, but up over Nicastro, can't get it. Smith gets it again. She will be tenacious. She can't get it again as she hits the deck. Flyer fans want contact, but no fouls called. Here's Nicastro. She says, up, I got a 6'4 freshman on me. I will kick it out for the three, which is missed. And Fiala gets the rebound. Her quick outlet to Lear. Dayton down 8, so 7:30 to go in the period. Lear drives. And, yeah, they have to call her for a charge. That's a good call. She rammed into her defender and knocked her down. Second foul on Lear. That'll get her out of the game. That'll get Bohannon back in. Nicastro out of the lineup. And Macon gets her first rest. Shavers and Kennedy in for the Bills, who lead this game by 8. And they are shooting almost 50%. 46%, 6 of 13. A 4-4 at the line compared to Dayton, 1 of 2. Brooklyn Gray on the dribble, cut off effectively by Jones. Outside the 3-point stripe, we're going the other way. They're going to they're going to call Kennedy Calhoun with her third foul. That's going to silence her from playing for a while. If I have her for 3, only list her for 2, so I gave her a foul I shouldn't have. These officials are calling this one tight. So we're going to be here a while tonight. Dayton trails it by 8. 7 minutes plus. Clock rolls. Bohannon trapped outside by Kennedy Calhoun. And now the ball's lost. And I think we have Bohannon getting a foul, trying to get it back. Destiny's second foul. The turnovers are adding up for Dayton. That's their 7th. Billiken ball. Left elbow with it is Brooklyn Gray. Played by Jones. Uses a screen by Kennedy and couldn't get the shot to fall. And Ariana Smith with the rebound. We'll watch her rebound total. That's 3 for her in the game. She had 2 on the offensive end moments ago. Now Anissa Jones will drive on Kennedy all the way to the goal and hit the bottom of the backboard. That's been the top of the night so far. Clegg's front court. Calhoun now the 3. Kennedy can't get it. Rebound Anissa Jones. Almost falls down but is able to get the ball over to Wolf. Ivy front court. Ivy eludes her defender and she'll shoot it on the run. Missed the shot. Rebound. No block out. So, Dayton gets another opportunity. Anissa Jones got the rebound. Wolf calling play number 2. 10 on the shot. Wolf starts her dribble with 8 on the shot. Wolf backs off. She will elude the defender. Now Fiala tries to dump underneath for Smith. Bad pass. You can see that coming. There's double coverage. It's intercepted by Kennedy Calhoun. Calhoun outside the 3-point stripe. Setting up for the open 3. Bang! For Peyton Kennedy, who's at 36% from the 3-point stripe. The Flyers stop this game. They trail at 22-11. We're going to take a break. We've got 5:43 to go in the first half. Dayton has been outscored 6-2 this period, and they've got to stop the bleeding. We will take a break. Let's hear from our underwriters right now.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD women's basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
Hello. There we go. Turn up the mic. All right, let's update you in the A-10 tonight. Rhode Island has opened it up on George Washington after being tied at the half. With 6 minutes to go, they lead at George Washington 54-40. St. Joe's putting it on Loyola. 4 minutes to go, first half, 28-13. Davidson putting it on St. Bonaventure, 23-13 to go. 23-13, 5:19 to go, first half. This one's a surprise. I do not expect this to keep going like this, but Fordham leads at George Mason, 21-17, 5 minutes to go, second quarter. UD men coming off the road loss at Richmond last Saturday. Now they got back on the winning track. They pulverized George Washington last night. They're 17-3, and they will be here at UD Arena 7 o'clock Friday for an ESPN2 game against St. Bonaventure. Billiken women's team will play Davidson at Davidson on Saturday, and they will then host VCU. They have their education game. That'll be next Wednesday at 11 a.m. And we get ready for halftime. We get to enjoy the Frisbee Dogs. Now, for the next game here against George Mason, there'll be a Dayton Flyer t-shirt giveaway. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Game, National Girls and Women in Sports Day, post-game autographs, and Q&A with members of the women's sports team. And the halftime entertainment will be the Roller Angels. So that is coming up later in the year. All right. Flyers again, the first time these two teams met. They were down 16 at the half. They dug themselves a hole, and they've done it again. They trail in this game by the score of 22-11. And into the front court is Anissa Jones. Jones draws that double-team trap, and she gave it up again. And on the ground, Julia Ocheka, Kyla McMakin is tied up. And in the alternating possession, it goes the Billikens' way. Bears repeating that trap has definitely affected the Flyers today, resulting so far in 10 turnovers. We still have to second period to go. Peyton Gennady front court over to Brooklyn Gray. On the weave offense, driving on Jones is McMakin. Kyla McMakin. Pass underneath. Well executed, and the ball goes in for Shavers. So she has 6 points. And the route is on. It's 24-11 at the 5-minute mark. Anissa Jones, bounce pass Wolf, over to Bohannon in the corner. She drives left baseline. She overshoots the goal, and the rebound comes down to the hands of Peyton Kennedy. Up to Martinez. Hits the trailer in Peyton Kennedy. Back over to Julia Martinez. 20 on the shot. Martinez barking instructions. Gets it back from McMakin. Cross-court pass. Tracked down by Brooklyn Gray at 10. Gray drives, cut off. Gray now isolates the defender in the corner. 5 to shoot. Somehow it gets into Martinez. She missed, but an offensive rebound by Kennedy. And they'll reset. It's Martinez banging home a 3 for her first points of the game. And it's 27-11. There's that 16-point deficit we mentioned. Ball's kicked. Dane keeps it. Flyers have been outscored this period 11-2, and they've scored for 3:17. Jones will throw it in. To Wolf, quickly between the circles, Destiny Bohannon backs up, hits Wolf. Ivy will drive, she'll shoot it from 10 left side, too long. Rebound, volleyballed about, comes down into the hands of Brooklyn Gray. Rebounds, Dayton plus 2. That's an advantage for St. Louis, considering they were clobbered on the boards last time. Martinez misses a shot, gets it back. I will give St. Louis credit. They are getting some offensive rebounds, getting a chance to reset their offense. Now 12 to shoot. 3:40 to go in the first half. 2 fouls on Dayton, 1 on the Billikens. 7 to shoot. McMakin will drive. McMakin at the free throw line. She'll force it up. Can't get it. Rebound, Ariana Smith, but she loses it to Martinez. Out to Peyton Kennedy, and she banks home a 3. And when you get a third opportunity, with offensive rebounds, you cash in. Kennedy with 6 points, and it's 30-11. Ivy Wolf will drive out to Anissa Jones, and she well overshoots the three-pointer, but it comes to Bohannon. Underneath, there's a pass intended for Ariana Smith. It's intercepted. Well, this is turning into the Duquesne game all over again. Underneath, McMakin, good defense, double-teamed she was underneath the cylinder. Had no shot, so she'll bring it out to Brooklyn Gray. Brooklyn Gray will force up a three and hit it over Bohannon. Can't do much better defensively, but Brooklyn Gray now has 7 points. It's 33-11, and there's an offensive charging foul on Perez, and that's her first. Fiala and Wheeler in. Smith and Perez out. And I was going to say, I said earlier, this is like the Duquesne game. It's actually worse. I think the Duquesne game was 22-7. And this is 33-11. And Camry Clegg is in. Flyers shooting 5 of 20. That is 25%. 13 turnovers. Points off turnovers, 15-4 for the Bills. Here's Julia Martinez into the front court. Martinez calling the signals. Martinez uses the screen, drives on Wolf, cut off effectively, out to McMakin. Fadeaway shot, good from 10. Kyla McMakin has 8, it's 35-11. Three-pointer Wolf, bang. Now Wolf's at 37% on the season, and she's got 7 points, 35-14. Martinez front court to McMakin. Kyla McMakin will drive. Jones, good defense on her. Over to Peyton Kennedy. Kennedy now slips and throws the ball up for grabs. And actually, Destiny Bohannon was tripped. I think the foul is going to be on Peyton Kennedy. Well, I don't know what they're calling. They are giving the Billikens the ball. Pick up Bohannon for the foul. Okay, you can hear how well that went over here. That's the, and the thing that makes that worse is that's Destiny's third foul, I think. Yes, that is. So that puts her, well, keeps her in the game, actually. That's an interesting call. So 10 on the shot. Peyton Kennedy is tied up. Great defense. She somehow is able to get it out to Tierra Simon. 4 on the shot. It's Clegg. They're going to get a shot clock violation. No, Martinez got it off. Missed it. Got it back. Deflected. And the ball goes in for McMakin. Well, it's all going right for St. Louis. 37-14. Here's the double team. Now Ivy Wolf knocked down by her opponent. And they call the foul on St. Louis. On Camry Clegg. Only the Billikens' second team foul. Now Bohannon checks out with the three fouls. 37-14. Leah will throw it in. Three to shoot. Ball is in to Wolf. Back over to Nia Lear. Lear between the circles. To Wolf outside the three-point stripe. She will drive on Gray. Draws double coverage, and Wolf comes up short with her shot. Tries to follow it up where there's contact everywhere. St. Louis comes up with a loose ball. Minute to go. 37-14. And Clegg will dribble, and they will call her for an offensive foul, frankly, which, well, they don't call her. They call a blocking foul. Someone else. And Dayton gets the ball back. Let's see. Well, we don't worry about it. We can tell you it's been 18-3 over the last 5 minutes for the Billikens. Here's a long three. Wolf comes up short with 40 seconds to go in the half. 37-14 St. Louis lead. And the Billikens can drain some time here. Looks like Kennedy got the foul before, and there is a three-pointer that is hit. And that makes it 40-14. And the hits just keep on coming for St. Louis. Wolf on the dribble. Dayton can go for one. They have been outscored 24-5 this period. They don't go for one. Anissa Jones misses. Fiala is able to pick up the rebound with 10 seconds to go. Gets it out to Ivy Wolf. And, oh boy, it looks like Brooklyn Gray is may have tweaked an ankle or done something. The shot is badly off. And that ends the first half. And Brooklyn Gray is going to lip off for St. Louis. We'll hope she'll be okay. Oh, 40-14. St. Louis with the lead. We'll go to halftime right now.
Okay, Simon. What are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2men2x.org. That's 2men2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
It's halftime at UD Arena. Our halftime program today is being brought to you by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the studios for halftime.
All right, one of our halftimes, we continue our features with University of Dayton Women's Basketball Coach Assistants. And we have Kalisha Keene with us. She is Assistant Coach / Recruiting Coordinator. So let's start with the / part. Recruiting Coordinator, what does that mean?
Yeah, so I'm kind of responsible for helping organize our recruiting efforts, where we travel, making sure that we're up to date on, like, information that way, constantly helping us, like, stay in communication, and just being that kind of liaison, I think, more so. We all get out and recruit. It's not like I'm the only person that does, but it's just my responsibility to make sure that we're moving in the right direction organizationally as much as possible.
How is it challenging to recruit during the season? Because you guys are on the road, you got games, you want to see a recruit in, I don't know, my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
Where we're taping this, you're going to St. Louis, but no coincidence there. How do you see people in person? Because obviously that impresses recruits when a coach or an assistant coach is there. It's like, wow, they came here to see my high school game?
Yeah.
They might want me. Where do those challenges come in logistically?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot about, like, time management. Can you make sure that you're able to keep up with all these schedules, players' games, practices, that kind of thing? I think we do a pretty good job of that, but it's also, like, when are we keeping the main thing, and recruiting always has to be a part of our main thing, right? So even though we're focusing on games, trying to get wins, tact, all that kind of stuff, we always have to have that kind of buzz in the back of our minds, like, are we talking to kids? Are we making sure that we're present in everything that they're doing? And it is tough. It's tough to get on the road after a game, whether it's a win or a loss, you know, and you kind of do want to take that time on an off day to reset, unwind, but you got to keep moving. And we have a tough schedule, I think, as coaches, but it's also a great schedule. So I think just finding that balance and making it work.
So if you can't get there to see them in person, you know, I know there are ways to view games on Facebook Live or whatever, but what sort of disadvantage? You want to see a kid many times off ball, and you basically, especially for a high school game, you get one camera on it.
Yeah.
What do you get out of that?
Yeah, I think watching streams online now, I'm like anti it because of having to do it for all the couple years during COVID and stuff like that. So I'm anti it because I love, like you're saying, like seeing someone off ball, how do they interact with their teammates on the bench, those kind of things that you can't pick up on camera. So not my favorite, but it is still a great tool that we did unleash, right? So now we can't be in France for their world championships or something like that. We can pull it up and still kind of get our eyes on a game or on a kid that we may not have been able to see halfway across the world. So cool, but still, I totally get your frustrations with it as well.
Okay, so a little bit about your background, which I didn't start with, but we're going there. Previously, coached 3 years Long Island, 2 years Michigan State, 6 years. Okay, this is what I'm fascinated with. Played professionally 6 years in Croatia, Israel, Turkey, Slovakia, Australia. Which one was, I won't ask you what your least favorite one was. We're not going to insult a country here. Yeah. We're not for that. What was your favorite one and why?
Favorite for sure was Australia. I think when you go overseas, you don't really take in the luxuries that you have at home, being able to speak your own language. So little things like going to the grocery store became 10 times more difficult. Just those little things. So being able to be in Australia, they speak the language. The weather's awesome. It was my first summery Christmas. So we were like outside at the pool, flipping burgers and stuff like that. And I just really fell in love with the city of Melbourne. Just great, great place. Super chill people. And just a great league to play in. It was super organized, professional. I loved it.
And it seems the Australian influence, I can't speak for the men's game, but for the women's game, has really gotten big. I mean, we could just talk Davidson. We could just call them the Davidson College Australians.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, you know, I guess you have a good perspective from playing there and seeing what that has done for Australians coming over to the women's game here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Australians, playing against them when I would play like internationally and on the national team, they're known for being tough. Great in shape players, and they can pass the ball really well. So you see that kind of unfolding for them now that they've been together there at Davidson for a couple years. It's all coming together for them, but they are tough. They move the ball. They constantly are moving off ball as well. So it's cool to see that style of play coming over here and being more represented, I think, in the A-10 for sure.
I always have to ask, and I don't know how you do it, but in a lot of these countries you're playing, and you mentioned language earlier, where you don't speak that language. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you have another American with you. How do you communicate? How do you listen to huddles? How do you even go through practice when a coach is talking in some other native tongue?
Yeah, for sure you have to kind of gain a sense of patience, because if your coach is able to kind of translate and speak in English, it's going to be at a pace that you're like, okay, I feel like I'm speaking to somebody that's in like the third grade. So you're kind of having to gauge that, okay, I know where you're heading with it, and not get ahead of the coach, because you want to be, you know, in a respectful space. But there are times where your coach knows absolutely no English and you're heavily relying on your teammates, whether they're American or they're nationalized players, right? So they're from the country that you're playing in, and oftentimes they can translate for you. But one time when I was in Croatia, I had a translator, actually. Wow. That had to translate in practice, because not a lot of the girls spoke English at all. So that was a challenge. But you get used to signals. I think signals start to really pop up and be universal. But it's tough. It's tough. It's a tough transition.
Okay, so 4-year college career, Michigan State, 2007 to 2011. 1,553 career points. Very impressive. I do remember when you came to UD Arena in 2009 and the Flyers upset your 10th-ranked team by 3 points. You scored 4 points and fouled out. Yep. I didn't remember you. Sorry, I was doing that game. But I did remember a 6'9 player by the name of Alyssa DeHaan. What are your thoughts having played with her?
Oh, she's a generational talent. I mean, to be able to say you have a 6'9 basketball player that can shoot the three, and we were literally just talking about her actually a few minutes ago, because St. Louis, having Flowers on their team last year, similarities, able to be like an anchor defensively, block shots, all that great stuff. Like, it does change kind of how you can defend at times on the perimeter. I wasn't necessarily the greatest defender, but when you have 6'9 behind you that you can funnel towards the rim, and you know they're able to block shots, playing with Alyssa was a luxury, you know. And our last year we had to really change how we guarded because you didn't have that back there. So she was awesome. I do remember that game. I do remember losing that game. One of a Canadian teammate that I had, Kendall Ross, was actually on that team, so she never lets me forget about it. And I even spoke about it in my interview for this job. The crowd was awesome. And it's something that I'll never forget about this place, in terms of like their support just for women's basketball. And I'm still kind of upset about it that we lost. I can't even lie.
But let's talk. Let's give you your props. The next year, you beat UD at home. Oh, you scored 23. So I got to go there.
Yeah. I'm always going to try to come back better. That's me in a nutshell. But we had to win that game. That was that was a tough loss for us, I think. And the way that they beat us, I think we never really forgot. And I think it really helped us kind of push and get better as a unit, as a team. So
I was curious about Alyssa, and I actually looked up today, but because I wondered why she never went in the WNBA, and apparently she had back issues. Yep. And she never did there. And she's been married for 10 years. It took her several years, but finally last year she became a mom.
Yes. Yeah. It was so cool to see her kind of through the lens of, like, motherhood, you know, and, like, see her kind of open, fall in love with a new side of her life. It was super cool. But yeah, she didn't really have much interest playing professionally. A lot of people were kind of like, why? You're this freakish, amazing athlete, you know? But she loved being in, like, the pediatrician side of things, so she just followed that. She actually played volleyball, actually, after that, which is cool.
Okay, so where am I going on this? Oh, yes. So you basically got into coaching. What did Susie Merchant mean to you to get into coaching?
After I graduated, Susie's my girl. I remember I was finishing playing in my last season. I was finishing up in Slovakia. And I called her and I was like, I think I might be done. Like, I had just really messed up my ankle. And she was like, anytime after I graduated, she was like, anytime that you're ready to coach, you give me a call. So I gave her a call, and literally within 2 weeks, I was enrolled in grad school and packing up my life essentially into a car to go, and I lived with her. I moved in with her. She housed me, kept me there in her home with her family for 2 years, and really pushed me to become a better coach, I think, on and off the court. And she's someone that is like a basketball savant. She watches a lot of film. She's a defensive-minded person. And it did kind of show me another side of her and another side of her as like a coach. You know, I could see her as like a human being, see her in, I call her off-season Susie, where she's outside like landscaping and stuff. But then when season starts, she's a fiery, great coach, you know, so it was cool to be around her and see her in that light.
You have a degree in psychology, which to me, for the job you're in, matches so well because your relationships. So what, is there a particular part of the team you specifically get involved with in practices and in coaching, and where does the psychology degree come into play?
I think it really comes into play when I'm thinking about these guys as student athletes and trying to put myself in their shoes right now and what they could be going through on and off the floor, but more specifically as their coach, like what's going on the court. And it just, so many things come into play with the mental side of the game in terms of like, how are you motivated internally, extra, all that kind of stuff. But like, for me, where I try to tap in is like, how hard do we play and how much passion do we play with right now, I think is where I'm at with everybody on the team. So as much as I can infuse that into them in terms of like how I coach them in practice, every single drill, how I speak to them in game, I think is where I'm at, because I think our team right now has to learn just to enjoy the grind of winning a game. I think our team has to fall in love with every game is going to be tough in this league, but it's on the other side of enjoying that process could potentially be wins, you know? So just continuing to stay in that pocket is huge for me.
And then finally, as I look here, okay, yeah, I have time for this final question. Master's in sports administration. Where does that come into play?
To be honest, it started out just as like, I need to just get into grad school. I'm not going to lie to you. Once I got in and I was taking classes, I really started to enjoy the variety of that specific master's. I really enjoyed the facilities side of it, the sports law. It just kind of came into a play of, like, why not learn so much more about this occupation? And then now, honestly, it's kind of something that you think of, like, once you're done coaching, like, this is a great avenue to go into, whether, you know, administration, you can go into being, like, facilities, like, all of these different things. But it really messed my brain up because now I cannot look at any space and not see the code and whether or not the room is up to par. So, like, doorknobs, I notice whether or not they're there or not. Handicap parking spaces. Like, it's just little things that the master's has, like, triggered in my brain. But it was awesome to be able to do it for free. I'm not going to lie. It was a great opportunity for me. And now that I look back, it's cool to be able to say, like, I got my master's. I never thought about doing it. I was going to play in the WME until my knees fell off. And then who knows what was next, right? But life comes at you differently.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And that is our halftime interview.
The halftime program was brought to you today by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the arena for the second half of today's contest.
And we're about a minute 20 away from the start of the second half. St. Louis leads it 40-14 on the strength of a 24-5 second quarter victory after winning the first quarter 16-9. Again, earlier today in the A-10, LaSalle squeaked by at UMass 63-61. VCU defeated Duquesne 64-51. Rhode Island was tied at George Washington at the half at 26. Then they had a 24-9 third quarter en route to a 66-52 win. Rhode Island improves to 15-8. George Washington falls to 8-13. Sophie Phillips had 12 points leading Rhode Island. Nia Robertson, she needs some help for George Washington. She had 23 more points. Games in progress. St. Joe clobbering Loyola in Chicago. That's halftime at 32-17. Fordham leads George Mason. Now give Fordham credit. They have slowed that thing to crawl land. And Fordham trying for a huge upset at George Mason. It's 25-24 at half. And Davidson leads St. Bonaventure at half, 36-27. St. Louis at Davidson Saturday. Rhode Island at Duquesne Saturday. UMass at St. Joe Saturday. George Mason at Loyola Saturday. And Fordham at Richmond Saturday. Sunday, the Flyers at LaSalle. And George Washington at VCU. So with that said, McMakin is the only player in double figures. She has 10 points. Kennedy has 8. For the Flyers, Ivy Wolf has 7. And we are ready to get underway with the second half. So Destiny Bohannon out there with her 3 fouls. She will throw it in to Wolf right in front of us. The ball's knocked out of bounds. We'll try it again. So Bohannon has to come back and throw it in again. And does into the front court to Lear. Off to Ivy Wolf. She will drive past her defenders and not shoot. Instead, kick out to Nia Lear. 20 on the shot. Lear to Bohannon. 15 on the shot. They can do a good job of standing around on offense right now. And you see Jones with it at 10. Jones drives. Shot is blocked. Ball is loose. Comes to Bohannon at 6. Jones from 10 feet. Couldn't get it. Comes up short. Rebound to Julia Martinez. 5'10 grad student. St. Louis will lose McMakin, Clegg, and Martinez next year. All grad students. It's a big new place to have to replace. And shot is taken by Kennedy Calhoun. It's cleanly blocked out of bounds by Ivy Wolf. What? 12 to shoot. St. Louis will throw it in. They do so. 2 Shavers. Out of traffic at 8 seconds to shoot with Martinez. Pass intended for Kennedy. The pass is errant, and it goes out of bounds. Let's see if I can sneak this stat in. Blocked shots. That's Ivy Wolf's 3rd on the season that we just saw. Enjoyed the Frisbee Dogs at halftime. And here's a pick and roll, and Bohannon misses the shot in the lane. Kennedy. Peyton Kennedy comes up with the rebound. No scoring in this 3rd period as of yet. McMakin, though, she's isolating on Bohannon, trying to draw her 4th foul. It's off to Martinez. She splits 2 defenders, comes up short. She's done a good job of getting offensive rebounds. St. Louis gets it back, and they get another opportunity. 10 to shoot. Shavers in the lane. She will post up Nanny Smith. Comes up short. And Ariana with the rebound. That's her 6th of the game. Quickly up. Front court. Bohannon drives. Can't get it to go. Foul on McMakin. Her 1st. Destiny Bohannon, 80% free throw shooter, to the line. And they will allow into the game Tierra Simon, St. Louis replacing Shavers. So Bohannon at the line. 1st of 2 is good. Destiny is on the board for the first time this evening. Billikens out rebounding Dayton 23-19. Dayton with more turnovers 15-10. Bohannon good again. Dayton shooting 21% from the field in the first half. And now Billikens shooting 42% from the field in the first half. St. Louis a very efficient 50% from the 3-point stripe compared to 17% for Dayton. 40-16, 8 minutes to go, 3rd period. Simon, the ball back over, and there's a 3 nail by Kennedy Calhoun. That's her 1st points of the game. St. Louis is blitzing the 3-point stripe now. 6 of 12. That's 50%. Here's a three on the other side. Good for Lisa Jones. Her first points of the game, 43-19. Kennedy Calhoun, front court. Calhoun uses a screen. Calhoun at the free throw line at 20. Here is a shot. It's taken and it's good. Kennedy with the three. Peyton Kennedy has 9 points, all on three-pointers. Here's another three, and Denise Jones can't get it. Long rebound is tapped out to Kennedy Calhoun, who's into the front court. Calhoun hands it off. Dayton trails 46-19. They post Peyton Kennedy underneath. Kennedy will try to schoolball hand, and she goes up over her and can't get it. Tries for the offensive rebound. The ball is loose. It's saved in. Making the three. Bang. Making 33% from the three-point stripe. She's got 13 points. The route is on at 49-19. Wolf double team front court. Ball's kicked. Will kick the basketball as Cameron Clegg comes in. Payne Kennedy trailing McMakin as leading scorer, 13-11. Bohannon throws it in, 6:45 to go. And the ball's tapped out of bounds by Calhoun on Wolf. Wolf wanted the foul. No such call. Bohannon to throw it in again. Now to Wolf. Wolf holds it. One dribble. Bohannon between the circles. Jones quickly underneath to Arianna Smith. Smith at 13. Kick out Bohannon. She will drive the lane. And they will call a foul on Clegg. Cameron Clegg picks up her second foul. Two fouls for St. Louis this period. Three. No fouls for Dayton. And 20 seconds to shoot. Wolf will throw it in underneath the basket. As Dayton attacks the goal. Here's a three for Anissa Jones. Can't get it. Bohannon rebound. One dribble, goes back up, puts it in. And 4 points, 49-21. Breaks six straight points for St. Louis. Kennedy Calhoun using the screen at the free throw line. Pulls up. Lots of dribbling. Over to McMakin. McMakin pass underneath for Kennedy. Knocked out of bounds by Lear. 6:04, 12 to shoot. St. Louis will inbound the basketball. St. Louis goes to VCU Saturday. Check it. They go to Davidson Saturday. And then they have VCU home next Wednesday morning. Clegg throws it in, gets it back, has an open lane. That was too easy, and she banks it in. That's what you hate as a coach, when it's that easy for Clegg to get that basket. 8 points for her. Ivy Wolf has the ball stolen by Clegg. Up court, Calhoun hits the trailer. McMakin, a three over Bohannon is good. And that's 16 for McMakin, right on average, and it's 54-21. And this is worse than Duquesne. Lear, cross-court pass for Wolf. Telegraphed it, turnover. Peyton Kennedy comes down, Bohannon on her. Hits the trailer, basket good. Calhoun, 5 points. Why call timeout, I guess. And here's a pass underneath for Smith. Smith gets bumped, no call, can't hit the shot, ball loose. Smith gets it back, works hard, puts it back up. Can't get it again, gets it back again. Smith kicks it out, Lear. Here's a three for Bohannon, in and out. And that's the way it's gone all night. And now the ball goes to St. Louis. Freeze that sequence. That's all you needed to know about this game. Driving, and they call Wolf a foul as the shot was taken by Calhoun. Ivy's first foul. Calhoun is a 79% free throw shooter. Ty Kozlova will come in for Dayton. Momentarily, she averages about a point and a half a game. We'll take a break. 4:52 to go, third quarter, 56-21 St. Louis. We'll be back.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD Women's Basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnicas Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Las Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer's Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
So, 16-7 third quarter. It's like Groundhog Day from the first half. Groundhog Day is officially on Friday. And I don't know if you heard, but Punxsutawney Phil has been kicked off of his team's soccer. Now, why? I'll tell you why in a minute. But St. Louis University was founded in 1818. It's the oldest university west of the Mississippi. It's the second oldest Jesuit university in the U.S. to Georgetown. In the 2022-23 school year, about 13,500 students. They also have a campus in Spain. In 2013, it was the first PhD in aviation worldwide awarded. Their campus spreads 273 acres and 129 buildings. They have 97 undergrad majors that they offer and 82 on the grad program side. There are 34 programs that are offered entirely online. Their alum include Michael Bidwell, president of the Arizona Cardinals, August Bush IV, former president and CEO of Anheuser-Busch, Andy Bennis, pitched in the Major League Baseball for St. Louis, Anthony Bonner, St. Louis University basketball all-time leading scorer, also had a long career in the NBA. Larry Hughes also played in the National Basketball Association, as did NBA Hall of Famer. This goes back a long time. Easy Ed McCauley and Bradbury Robinson. Okay, you don't know that name. He threw the first legal forward pass in the American football history in 1906. Okay, so Punxsutawney Phil, I mentioned. News bulletin came out today. He was kicked off of his team's soccer. Why? Well, turns out he was a ball hog. All right. That went about as well as the game. Tough audience. Kozlova, Smith, Jones, Bohannon, Wolf. Back on the court for Dayton. 4:52 to go in the period. And it is Kennedy Calhoun at the free throw line. Transfer from Longwood, where the coach came from. Last year, season high 15 points in the 8-10 tournament game. Good timing on that. Free throw doesn't go. She's majoring in sports business. St. Louis at the line now, 4-5. Dayton 3-4. And that free throw is good. Calhoun has 6. And the score is 57-21. I don't even want to say the score anymore. But I guess I'm obligated to. Bohannon for Smith. Smith looks to get rid of it to someone. Finds Anissa Jones to Wolf. Wolf will take it left side and can't get the shot in. Smith with another rebound. And Dayton will reset. Kozlova deep in the right corner. 3 looks good. It is. Kozlova hit a 3 late in the St. Bonaventure game. She gets one there. Smith, by the way, is up to 8 rebounds. She should get double rebounds today. 57-24. Look at the fouls. Dayton 1, 2 for St. Louis. And it's Brooklyn Gray. 2 Calhoun in front of the St. Louis bench. Kennedy Calhoun between the circles. Brooklyn Gray. Gray on the dribble, forces a shot, double coverage. It comes up short. Mia Nicastro, reverse layup, good. Didn't have the angle, but was able to get that shot in. Nicastro, I like her. St. Louis Cardinal baseball fan. Anybody who likes the baseball Cardinals, I like them. Bohannon right side, can't get it. Foul called on the Bills. Dayton free throws here. Castro, by the way, accounting major. Both parents were athletes at the University of Illinois. She chose to go to St. Louis. And for the first time coming in for St. Louis, replacing Gray is Ashley Connor, 5'11 freshman who averages 2.3 points per game. She is from Mount Lebanon High School out of Pittsburgh. Bohannon free throw is good. 5 points all this half. That foul, by the way, went on Nicastro, her first. And second one falls in as well. And it's 59-26. This period, St. Louis is winning it 19-11. And Connor is holding the ball, guarded by Wolf. Shakes off Ivy, uses the Castro screen, is on the dribble. Kozlova picks her up. And now Arianna Smith picks her up, and the ball is dumped out of traffic with 10 on the shot. Now Nicastro drives a wide open lane and scores, and that's too easy. Nicastro with 4 points, 61-26. Niall Lear will come back in for Dayton in a moment. Kozlova, three, got again. 61-29. Kennedy Calhoun, kick out Nicastro. She'll try her own three. Get it to go, hit the front of the rim, and it comes right to... blocked out. I think Shavers missed the putback. And Anissa Jones glides front court. She will go coast to coast. She will kick it back out. Kozlova, another three. This one doesn't go. Lead side rebound, number nine on the day for Nan Smith. She will go up and hit the shot. And have a chance to complete the three-point play. Great effort for Arianna Smith. She's on the board for the first time in this game. As Fiala and Lear will come in for Dayton. Somebody just picked up their first foul. And Smith is a 71% free throw shooter. Scores 61-31. Well, Shavers got that foul. Smith's up to 10 rebounds. And they're going to wave this off. Dayton has the lane violation, even though I watched Clegg fall into the lane. So Smith gets a missed free throw there. Looks like McMakin has come back in. Now St. Louis has got McMakin, Simon, along with Connor. Bringing the ball up is Clegg and Nicastro. And they lead it by 30 points, 61-31. And there's a bad pass. It's thrown right to Lear. Lear has Bohannon on the left. She hits her, and she hits the bottom of the rim. But the ball comes right to Fiala. She's trying to play properly, and the freshman scores her first 2 points of the game, making it 61-33. 21-17. Maybe I should just say what the quarter is. It's a little better. 21-17, St. Louis leads this period. Under 2 minutes to go. It's McMakin. She'll shoot a three and nail it. That's her third one of those. 19 points for Kyla McMakin. Very efficient on the shooting. As she is 6 of 11 in this game. She was 7 of 15 in the first time these teams met. She's had some woeful shooting games, but not today. 64-33. Niall Lear double-teamed out to Anissa Jones. She'll try a three and miss it. And Nicastro tries for the rebound. She's able to save it. Double dribble, no call. Now has to relinquish and does so over to Camry Clegg. Front court Clegg. Hits the trailer Nicastro. They leave her open. They say, yeah, take the three. It's an air ball and it almost was out of bounds. Great saved in to Simon and she makes the basket. That's just hustle for St. Louis there. And something that Tamika Williams-Jetter doesn't like. All right, timeout. I'll go ahead and read these things. All right, well, we want to thank the following businesses for helping us bring the broadcast to you this year. When you visit one of the businesses, please be sure to mention that you heard about them during the games on the radio. Just don't mention this final score. Archer's Tavern, ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Bill's Donut Shop, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Coin Dentistry, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnikas Italiano Restaurant, Fat Boys Dayton, El Rancho Grande, Hothead Burritos, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Miami Valley Premier Walk-in Tubs and Showers, Roberson Law, Ohio Painting Service, Rotor Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center. Let's see if I can get you some scores. I can mention that Tamika Williams-Cheddar has her basketball camps coming up this summer. It's a day camp from June 17th to the 20th for 4th through 8th graders for $225. It's a team camp June 21st and 22nd for 9th through 12th graders. There's a Day in the Life camp on June 23rd for 9th through 12th graders for $85. There's a Future Flyers camp on July 8th through the 11th for K through 4 for $110. And there's a Day in the Life camp on July 14th for 9th through 12th graders for $85. All right, let's get you some scores of other A-10 action today. Tonight, well, we've gone over the day scores, so we'll go ahead and tell you tonight, St. Joe, a minute to go, third quarter, leading Loyola, 44-27. I figured this one would finally go George Mason's way. They're leading Fordham now 37-28, 4 minutes to go, third quarter. And Davidson comfortably out ahead at St. Bonaventure with 2:29 to go in the third quarter, 47-35. I do want to see if Sutton is playing today for Davidson. She is not. She had a knee injury. She was out. She came back. She's out again. That's not good. Of course, Susie Rose Deegan a couple weeks ago suffered a season-ending knee injury. And Charlize Dunn has 20 points today to lead Davidson. Izzy Morgan has 14. Danny Haskell having a good game with St. Bonaventure. She has 15 points. All right, so we're getting ready to get back to action at the 1:17 mark of this third quarter. That St. Louis leads 26-19. We will preview Dayton's next opponent after our media timeout, which will end this third period. Right now, Dayton with the basketball. Lisa Jones has it. Jones in front of the UD bench. She's double-teamed. Now Bohannon out to Kozlova. Open three left side. Air ball. And it's saved by Jones. Great effort there to Fiala. She telegraphs the pass and throws it right to Connor, who drives. And Ashley Connor gets fouled by Lee, and that's her third foul. Ashley Connor is 2-for-4 at the free throw line this year. At her Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania high school, a very American type number of points, 1,776. And see if she can get in the scoring column. Now she missed the first one. One more coming. 49 seconds to go in this third period. 66-33. St. Louis has doubled up. The Flyers, she missed it again. Front court to Nia Lear. Over to Anissa Jones. Jumps it underneath for Fiala, the freshman. Off glass good. Smooth move. Eve has 4 points. 66-35. St. Louis won the first 16-9. They won the second 24-5. They're winning the third 26-19. And they are shooting almost 50% for the game. Peyton Kennedy kicks out. 16 on the shot. It's Connor. Underneath, driving up over Fiala. Basket good for Simon. Simon says, I have 4 points now. 68-35. 6 seconds to go. Front court, Bohannon. Bohannon at two. She shoots a three at the buzzer. Missed it. 68-35, fourth quarter's coming up. We'll be back.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD women's basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during games on the radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Dominica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-in Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
All right, across town, better game than going on here. Wright State, they're hosting Oakland with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. They are winning that game by the score of 59-54. Leading score for Wright State in that game. Centerville product. Hutchison has 17 points. Baumhauer has 16 points. And Tate has 10 points. So, again, Wright State, they always shoot the ball well. They're 51%. And they are leading that game now 59-56, less than a minute to go in the third quarter. All right. Dayton will have to flush this game from their memory banks. Sunday they will play in Philadelphia against LaSalle. And LaSalle probably wants to flush the whole season from their memory banks. Last year LaSalle went 17-14, 8-7 in the A-10. They did lose here 65-51. Perez had 19 points, 12 rebounds. Smith, Kozlova, Jones, and Sidney Freeman all had 14 for the Flyers, who basically won playing five players other than 3 minutes and 26 seconds from Eleanor Maniak. Smith had 15 rebounds. Jones had 11 rebounds. And, boy, UT crushed LaSalle on the boards 55-28. Even though, and this is bizarre, you win a game by 14 and they still committed 33 turnovers. So, again, LaSalle today won by 2 at UMass. They are 7-13 overall now. They also have conference wins over Fordham by 11, St. Bonaventure by 4, UMass by 6, and they have taken some beatings this year. They lost to George Mason by 37, Davidson by 19, St. Joe by 25, VCU by 16, Rhode Island by 28. Mountain McGilvery is in his 6th year. Coming into today, they averaged 59 and allowed 72 points a game. They'll probably have a problem on the boards Sunday. They get out rebounded by 9 per game. They average 12 assists, 18 turnovers. They do have 3 10-point scores. Miller, grad student, who hit those 2-game-winning free throws today, along with freshman Eris McTune and Nicole Melios. So there's your scouting report. Pardon me. On the south. In the meantime, St. Louis has the ball to start this period. They turn it over, and Ivy Wolf bullet pass underneath for Fiala. She puts it on the ground and now puts it home. Fiala's getting some good minutes. Rich Miller was out in normal warm-up attire before the game. Then she is in a tracksuit, so I imagine we're very close to seeing her getting back to action, maybe even on this next road trip. Inside, there's the scoop shot. It doesn't go for Peyton Kennedy, and Fiala gets the rebound. It's taken right away from her, and she fouls Peyton Kennedy, who will go to the line. Fiala's first foul, and Peyton Kennedy has been at the line, and she is 2 of 2 there. Bohannon comes back in. I imagine we will see the coach's daughter at some point here soon. That would be Isabel Tillett, Richard's sophomore from Cosby High School in Manassas, Virginia. Also transferred, as many of them did, from Longwood. Free throw is good. And Coach Rebecca Tillett told me before the game that she talks to her daughter with 2 minutes to go in each half, seeing if she's got any suggestions or plays that she's interested in maybe suggesting, as her daughter wants to also get coaching, just like her very successful mother. Score is now 70-37. St. Louis hit those 2 free throws. Here's a pass underneath Lear, blocked from behind. Fiala was, but he gets it back over to Niall Lear. Lear from 10, got it. Lear has 4 points. We've not seen Danica Lightborn yet in this game. Sasha Cleveland, not seen her either. Let's see what happens as we move on. 70-39, 8.5 minutes to go. Underneath, Peyton Kennedy missed the shot. Fiala rebound. Look at Eve's line. Very active. She is 3-4 at the line, or from the field, 6 points, 5 rebounds. So Wolf on the dribble. Wolf will drive all the way to the goal. 10-foot pop, good. 9 for Wolf. 70-41 with 8 minutes to play. Martinez gets the return feed from Simon. Now it's off to McMakin. Another three. Nope, this, she couldn't get this one. But the offensive rebound for Martinez will keep it here because we have a Dayton foul. Kozlova picks up her first foul. Not a shooting foul. Being second foul of the period. 2:05 in. Score is 70-41, St. Louis. Score 72-41, St. Louis. Kennedy connects on the basket. Peyton Kennedy has 14. That's right on her seasonal average. St. Louis looks to improve to 9-13. Looks like they'll do so. Top of the key. Shot is good. Two-pointer for Bohannon. She's got 8. Flyers lose this. They drop to 9-12. With 2 road games coming up. Free throw line. Kennedy, give it to her. Missed the shot. Rebound, Fiala. Name rolls off the tongue nicely. Ivy Wolf, front court. Kozlova, cross-court pass, almost intercepted, but now Lear now has an open lane. Drives all the way in. Got fouled. Going up for the shot. Will shoot 2. Lear at 71% on the season. Lisa Jones comes back in for Dane. Rebounds basically even. It's a far cry from the first time these teams met when the Flyers clubbed the Bills on the board. Points in the paint. There's a big difference. 30-16 St. Louis. Of course, we know about turnovers. 20-12 Dayton. 34% from the field, Dayton. 47% for the Bills, who have hit 3-pointers galore. 11 of them. Lear misses the free throw. 11 of 20 from the 3-point stripe compared to 4 of 16 for Dayton. 11 steals for the Billikens in this game, 2 to 5 for Dayton. Lear hits the free throw. She has 5 points. Really, in a 28-point disparity, those stats are all you need to know why we are where we are. We were 4-4 at the first media timeout. Then St. Louis took over. They led by 7 at the end of the first. It just got worse. Driving Simon on Fiala. She scores. She has 6. Let's take a break. Stop the game. We're going to hear from our underwriter. 6:55 to go. Bills up by 30, 74-44. We'll be back.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD Women's Basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
All right, checking the games in progress in the league. St. Joe 50, Loyola 34, 7:14 to play. Looking at the particulars on that one, Mackenzie Smith leads St. Joe with 15. Brugler has 10. Welsh has 9. 12 for Fisher leads the way for the Ramblers, who are shooting 38% compared to 48% for Loyola. All right, let's go to the next game. George Mason has a 48-35 lead on Fordham with 8 minutes to go. Particulars in that one for Fordham. Donaldson, good player, doesn't get much help. Wow, Donaldson has 19. Nobody else has more than 4. For George Mason, Smith has 15. Habib has 13. And again, it's 48-35. The other game in progress has 9 minutes to play. Davidson has a 53-41 lead over St. Bonaventure. Dunn is one of the Australian Connection players. She has 22. Morgan has 14 for Davidson. And St. Bonaventure has Haskell with 15 points. The finals from this day are LaSalle over UMass, 63-61. VCU at home breaks open a close game in the fourth period, beats Duquesne, 64-51. Rhode Island goes to George Washington, and it was 26 all at the half. Didn't end that close. Rhode Island wins at 66-52. All right. We'll hopefully get back to action here shortly. YMCA is done, and this game has 6:55 to go, with St. Louis up 74-44. Billikens have already passed their average of points per game, which is 71. Now they just look to pad it. Dayton, they're not going to get to their 65 points is what they average. And we'll start to see when the benches clear. Right now, many of the starters still in, which for St. Louis, I frankly don't understand. Anyway, it's Ivy Wolf on the dribble. Dayton's leading scorer has 9 points. Can she make it 11? She drives. She points it up, and she can't hit the shot. Good defense by Peyton Kennedy as that layup would not fall. Kennedy Calhoun, front court. And they're going to say Wolf got close, and she will pick up personal foul number two. Team foul number three with 6:34 to go. We will be back on the air Super Bowl Sunday, 11:45 a.m. for a noon tip. George Mason will be here. And then we have Wednesday, February 24th with Davidson. And then we conclude the home schedule for the last regular season game of the year, noon Saturday, March 2nd, against Rhode Island, as Kyla McMakin has hit her 4-3. That gives her 22 points. She puts on a show tonight, 77-64. 77-44. Now there, just scored for Dayton. She has 7 points. McMakin again efficient tonight. 4-6 from 3-point strike. So it's 77-46. And Julia Martinez. She is cut off. Martinez kick out. And a forced shot for McMakin. She got fouled, I think, by Anissa Jones. That's her second. McMakin goes to the free throw line. She was all-conference second team last year, averaged 17 per contest. That was fourth best scoring last year in the A-10. She's a computer science major, and she ended last season, including her time at Longwood, with 2,233 points, 602 of those with St. Louis U through last year. First free throw is good. Gives her 23 now. .547 to go. Good again. And it's 79-46. Kozlova pick for Ivy Wolf. Wolf on the dribble. Wolf between the circles. Has to give up her dribble. Does so to Kozlova. Dribbles behind the back. Steps outside the 3-point stripe at 10. Anissa Jones will drive at 8. Jones outside the 3-point stripe at 5. Lear in the paint at 3. Lear, that's one pass too many, but Wolf got off the 3 and hit the side of the backboard. Well, they'll say that she didn't get it off. That's a shot clock violation with 5:16 to go. Clegg's back in, replacing Martinez. We are tied at 11 in this fourth period. It's about the best I can tell you. Clock rolls, approaching 5 minutes. Wolf knocks into the backcourt. I don't know how they call over and back. It goes not over and back, but it doesn't really matter. Oh, there's Danica Lightborn, averaging about 2 points per game for Dayton. She... She is from the Bahamas, Tallulah Falls High School, the 5'9 freshman. Kozlova will throw the ball in. Ty's getting some extended minutes tonight. Over to Wolf. She just hope we don't have another media timeout. Under five. We don't need to hear YMCA again. Ivy Wolf drives. Up and got fouled. Go to the line. Of course, she's pretty automatic. And the foul's on Brooklyn Gray, her first. And I say pretty automatic. Ivy Wolf at 92% this year. Let's see if she was two or three. She's actually 24 of 26 at the line. And St. Louis will usher in Shavers. Octavia Shavers will replace Tierra Simon. So Ivy Wolf at the line. No, I don't think we have that media timeout. They would have stopped the game by now. Free throw is good. Ivy Wolf now is 10. This latest one, give the attendance 1879. About on average, if you take out school day. Free throw good. Ivy has 11. 79-48. I'm going to make a fast track when we're off the air. Get out of here and go watch my alma mater, Missouri. Maybe win an SEC game. They're playing Arkansas tonight. 15 to shoot. There's McMakin off balance three in and out. And it's kicked out of bounds by Shavers. With 4:38 to go. Sifting can win a quarter. They're up 13-11. Wolf in the front court. Between the circles. Kozlova thinks about the three. Underneath Ifiala. She traveled. Nope, they're going to save the hook counts. And she goes to the line. Oh, Fiala has eight. It's obviously career high. Shavers got the foul, her second. Fiala at the line this year is 1 of 5. And Eve has 7 rebounds to go with her 8 points. One-handed free throws push in. 9 for her. It's probably the best thing I can say about the game tonight. Her continued development, getting a lot of minutes. She is playing. Well, doesn't get minutes. St. Louis with the ball leading 79-51. We're approaching 4 minutes to go. A nice fake for McMakin. A three over Lightbourne. Way off. Barely hit the backboard. And Niall Lear speeds the other way. Goes all the way in and scores. Lear has 9 points. She's played a solid game tonight. 79-53. Flyers have scored 7 in a row. They've hit 6 of the last 8 from the field. Here's a little push in the lane for Flag that doesn't go. And Kozlova got tied up, and she got fouled, actually, as she was hit to the ground. And St. Louis foul. Martinez will come back in for Kennedy Calhoun. Both teams with 4 personal fouls in this period. That foul was on McMakin, her second. She made contact in the backcourt with Ty Kozlova. And driving the lane is Wolf. It's kicked out. Kozlova, an open three. Should be good. Nope, it's too hard off the back of the rim. But in the scrum, it comes to Lightbourne. To Fiala, back over to Lightbourne. Dayton will set up. To Wolf. Wolf will drive. It's kicked out to Lear. Niall will drive. Niall, nice crossover dribble. Hangs, misses the shot inside. Rebound comes down into McMakin's hands. And she's fouled by Kozlova. Ty's second foul. McMakin will have 2 free throws at the other end. And we can tell you that we have 3:15 to go with Dayton trailing in this basketball game, 79-53. St. Louis looking to break the 2.5-minute scoreless drought. And here is Kyla McMakin at the line. First of 2. Good. That makes her 5 of 5 on the evening. Free throw good. And Johns comes in for St. Louis University. Bree Johns. What can I tell you about her? She's a 5'11 senior. She's from Thomas Edison High School in Alexandria, Virginia. She also is a transfer from Longwood. She's going to get some extended minutes here. Driving is Wolf. Got Kozlova back over to Ivy at 15. Ivy will drive the lane. Nice move off glass. Spins in.
Ivy
has 13. Bree Johns, by the way, she scored this year. They list her twice here in the stats. She is averaging 1.6 a game. There's a three drain by Brooklyn Gray. She's got 10 points, almost on her seasonal average, 84-55. 2.5 to go. Kozlova, two dribbles. Over to Ivy Wolf. Fiala, hook in the lane, doesn't get it. No block out. Kozlova blows the rebound. Back over to Fiala, and she's fouled. Eve with 7 rebounds, 9 points. And Shavers picks up her third foul. Fiala at the line. She can actually get a double-double out of this thing. 1 point, 3 rebounds, not out of the question here with 2:17 to go. If we want to look at some positives, that's a good way to start. Free throw, good. One-handed push shot. There's 10 points, career high. One more for her. '84-56, '84-57. 1-3-3 at the line. And here's a substitution. And here is the coach's daughter, Isabella Tillett. Mentioned her earlier. She is in the lineup this year. She has played in 5 games. She's played 19 total minutes. And she has not scored. The Sales will try to change that as Ivy Wolf fouls Julia Martinez. Wolf's third foul. Martinez will go at the line. Sasha Cleveland in for Dayton for the first time tonight. Langham Creek High School, Houston, Texas, the 6'1 redshirt freshman, and Ivy Wolf is out. And Martinez is at the line for the first time tonight, where she is at 66% on the season. Martinez, 8-10 championship game last year, came up big, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. She had 8 steals last year in the home game against Dayton. She missed her first free throw there. She's getting her Master's of Athletic Training at her Illinois High School. 970 points, 793 rebounds, and 767 assists. She connects on the next one, gives her 4 points. She's been quiet tonight, but frankly, they haven't needed her. 85-57, dumped underneath. Fiala, hook, air ball. And apparently it was an air ball because it was a foul. And Fiala will go to the line. And Gray has picked up her second foul. So Fiala battling 11 points, 8 rebounds. Perfect at the line tonight. 3 of 3, came in 1 of 5. 2 minutes and 1 second left. One-handed free throw. This one short. One more. So Ivy Wolf, right now the leading scorer for Dayton with 13, but Fiala's on her trail. She just hit that one. She has 12, and it's 85-58. Dayton winning this period 22-17. Dayton trailing this half by 2. First half, not so good. Surprised to see Martinez still out there. Long 3 doesn't go for Clegg. Rebounds Fiala. That's rebound number 9. One more, and she'll have a double bump. Driving his Lear all the way in. Couldn't get it. Fiala, there's the rebound. Good, it counts, and she's fouled. Fiala will go to the line to complete the three-point play. She has 14 points. And Tillett got the foul. And Fiala has a double-double, 14 points and 10 rebounds. And it's just nice to have something positive to talk about. So Eve at the line. This is a preview of the next 3 years, folks. I'm not saying double-double every night, but just the potential this young lady has with 15 points, 5 of 7 from the field, 10 rebounds, 1 assist. 85-61, minute and a half left. Ooh, behind the back pass, cute. Shot badly off. And bad pass turns into a layup for Julia Martinez, and she has six. 87-61. Lightbourne over to Nyolier. Near front court, so Fiala is going to be the high scorer for the Flyers in this game. Ivy Wolf's not coming back. And here's a bad pass. That's a big turnover. St. Louis with the ball in the backcourt. And 50 seconds to go. Martinez. They can run some clock now. The Billikens can. Driving is Simon. Here is a three that is missed. Ball is loose for rebound. It's picked up by the coach's daughter, Tillett. A three is in and out for St. Louis. No block out, and it comes to Gray. Gray will kick it out. Tillett still looking to score. Here's another three that St. Louis misses with 22 seconds to go. They get the ball again. They try another three, and they miss this one. Well, this will kill their shooting percentage if this keeps happening. Another three. Tillett, an air ball, and this one is out of bounds. I think they missed like five or six shots in that sequence. They were shooting 45%. And now they're down to 44% as they're one of their last eight. 12 seconds to go, 87-61. This one's about done. See if Payton even tries another shot. Nope, they're just going to dribble it out. So, buzzer please. That's it. 87-61. St. Louis wins the game. We'll be back.
It's the Archer's Tavern postgame program with Barney Sintner and Dennis Shaw. Now let's head back to the arena to get the wrap-up on today's game.
All right, let's start with the team stats, and we will go from there. Dayton does wind up shooting, thanks to 26 points in the fourth quarter, and they shot 52% in the fourth quarter, 9 of 17. For the game, Dayton shoots 35% on 22 of 62. The Billikens shoot 44% overall for the game at 31 of 71. They didn't do themselves any favors from the field in the fourth quarter. They went 5 of 19 for 26%. All right, from the three-point stripe, St. Louis was very efficient, 42% at 13 of 31. The Flyers went 4 of 18 for 22%. Free throw line, pretty much a wash. St. Louis was 12 of 16 for 75%. Dayton was 81% from the free throw line, 13 of 16. Turnovers. Well, this is a familiar story. The Flyers had 23. St. Louis had 13. Points off turnovers, 28 for St. Louis, 10 for Dayton. Rebounds. Dayton wins it, but only by 3, 41-38. They win the defensive rebounds, 23-20. The offensive rebounds were a wash at 18. Frankly, that's a win for St. Louis, with the rebounds basically even. Second chance points were 17-14 in St. Louis's favor. Bench points were 35-28 Dayton's favor. A lot of that, of course, from Fiala. Points in the paint, 34-24 St. Louis. Fast break points, 15-12 Dayton. Blocks 4-3 St. Louis. Steals 13-5 St. Louis. Assists 19-9 St. Louis. We were tied twice for a total of 4 minutes and 23 seconds. We had one lead change in this game, and otherwise St. Louis controlled it. All right, let's go ahead and give you the period-by-period breakdown. 16-9 St. Louis in the first, 24-5 St. Louis in the second, so they led 40-14 at the half. And the second half was even. 28-21 St. Louis in the third, Dayton 26-19 in the fourth, and that's the wrap. For St. Louis, they had one heck of a performance from Kyla McMakin. She comes in averaging 16. She ends with 26 points, 8 of 16 from the field, 4 of 8 from the three-point stripe, perfect at the line in 6 attempts, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 26 points for McMakin. Payne Kennedy finishes with 15 points and 7 rebounds. Then you go to Clegg with 8 points. You have lots of people with 6. Calhoun had 6 to go along with 5 assists. Julia Martinez, she had 6 points, but she had 7 rebounds and 5 assists. Shavers had 6 points. Coach's daughter didn't score. Simon had 6 points, 5 rebounds. Connor didn't score. Nicasio had 4. Nicastro, not Nicasio. It's a baseball player. McAstro had 4 points. Johns Bladen didn't score. And Brooklyn Gray had 10 points and 3 rebounds. For Dayton, again, your bright spot was Ifeala. 15 points, double-double, career high, 5 of 7 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. She ends with 10 rebounds and 15 points. Ivy Wolf had 13 points, 5 of 12 shooting, 4 assists. Niall Lear had 9 points. And then you have 8 points for Bohannon all in the second half. Kozlova had a couple threes, 6 points, 5 for Wheeler, 3 for Jones. Ariana Smith had 2 points, but she did have 10 rebounds. And Lightbourne didn't score. Cleveland didn't score. And that is it for the numbers. So, exhale. Coach will be coming over in a moment after tonight. Dayton goes on the road. Sunday they play at LaSalle. Next Wednesday they play at Fordham. Both games on ESPN+. We join you again on Super Bowl Sunday when hopefully the Kansas City Chiefs will chew up San Francisco and win the Super Bowl, their fourth of their career. We have a game at noon, though, against George Mason on Sunday, February the 11th, and we're on the air at 11:45. Well, I guess I can check some scores. Unless you want to hear me sing. Well, that'll drive people away. Let's see here. Let's get your Wright State score first. Horizon League. Choo-choo-choo. Here we go. Ah, Wright State's going to win. They're up 76-68 with less than a minute to go. Home against Oakland. A-10. Let's see. Is everything a final now? Yep, it's all done. Let's see. St. Joe won at Loyola 61-50. George Mason beat Fordham at home 54-47. That's one of their closest conference games of the year. And Davidson won at St. Bonaventure 65-57 earlier today. VCU beat Duquesne by 13. Rhode Island beat George Washington by 14. And LaSalle won at UMass by 2. So there is the update on the other scores. 87-61 is the final here. And we will wait for the coach. And we'll talk to her, and then we'll say goodbye. So, hopefully, we'll get the coach in a minute, because I'm not going to repeat myself. We have a promo we can play. We have a PSA. We have something we can play. Play the Underwriters. Please, play something. I don't really want to sit here and say nothing. So, what? Oh, you want to read these things? Please. Have at it.
All right. We would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD Women's Basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, please be sure to mention that you heard about them during the games on the radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, and Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers.
Thank you. Okay. So, we will talk to the coach. We'll get her a headset, and we'll go from there. Okay, coach has it on, and pretty much about the only thing I want to talk about is Ifeala.
I figured you would say that.
I will bring up one other thing first. It seemed like St. Louis got you guys disjointed offensively by a lot of trapping at half court.
Yep.
And it worked great.
Yes.
Did you expect that?
Yes. I mean, they did it to us the first game. I don't think there's a time that we play St. Louis and they don't throw something at us. This year's been more zone. And I thought the first game in the second half, like I said, we really popped the ball and worked on that. And I felt like the ball was stagnant. And they did more blitzing. And I think that was, of course, to get the ball out of Ivy and Destiny's and Anissa's hands. And Nani does a great job of her 10 rebounds and trying to battle in the paint. But we needed that. Maybe I should have put even a little bit earlier to just give us a presence where we'll flatten out that zone and they had to guard somebody in the paint.
I just want to see you play more and more. I mean, what she did today, you can argue it's in the fourth quarter, but I'm sorry. It was still competitive. And you guys were out there battling. You scored 26, and she had 15. I'll tell you, one area she's really worked on, it looked
great,
is free throws.
I knew you were going to say
that. She does the old, you know George McGinnis is?
Yes, yes.
She does the old one-handed George McGinnis push, and she made those look smooth. What did you think about her? Give me your impressions.
I mean, if anything, the future is really bright with that kid. Struggled with strength and struggled with some other things, just getting acclimated to college. This is a kid who was, virtually homeless before she came here, and UD gave her an opportunity, and she has been flourishing here in so many ways within the community that's been wrapped around her. And I'm just so proud of that kid, of where she came from and where she is today. And you're only going to see Ifeala get better and better. And I'm just so proud of her because she gives us a paint presence. And I got to really think about playing her. I don't even know how many minutes she played. 22. Can we get her 30 minutes? Because she also does a great job with shots. I mean, those kids are all seniors and JUCO transfers, and most of the kids in this lineup are seniors, and she's a freshman holding her own. So I'm very proud of Eve. I thought she also rebounded the ball well, not just scoring.
Ten rebounds,
with a double-double for a kid like that from where she's come from. I'm so proud of her.
We saw in warm-ups, in uniform, Riley.
Yes.
And we saw her in a tracksuit, so you really confused me there. Is there a chance you're going to play her on the road trip or take her on the road trip?
She's definitely going. I mean, she's just day-to-day right now, doing really well. She's on the court, getting her workouts in, just trying to get her feet underneath her. So we don't want to rush it. That's another kid who has 4 years, but really would have helped us in a game like this, like she did there, and hit big threes and really make them come out and guard, because essentially what they do is they blitz our guards and make our post players make shots, and that's not something we're great at. And so putting Ty in kind of opened it up, but it leaves you a little bit on the defensive end and rebounding end. But I thought Eve, because she's not a high post presence yet, but is soon to come. But she gave us some great deep post catches, and we need people who can finish those shots and get fouled.
Okay, finally, I'm sure you watched LaSalle today. At least I presume you did, considering their next opponent. And they won today at the end against UMass.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have initial thoughts about facing them on Sunday?
We got to guard the three-point line. I think I did a little bit of math today, and I think almost like 24 of their points come from threes, made threes. They take almost 27, so almost 30 threes a game. Another about 13 come from the free throw line. They don't get there often. They have one kid that maybe gets there five or six times, and the rest are twos, right? So we have to defend at a very high rate at the three-point line, like we did last year. Just hopefully we don't have 33 turnovers to win the game, and they were picked second last year. But this is a team that he always does something different defensively, so he might look at this game and do it. Mountain's that type of guy, so we got to be prepared for it. They don't rebound well. We have to get back in that space. We have to guard the three-point line, and we have to push pace.
Have a good trip.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so there is Coach Tamika Williams-Jenner breaking it down. 87-61, St. Louis wins this game. And good timing. We got the news coming up next. Well, bad news here from UD Arena in front of a crowd of 1879. St. Louis wins it 87-61. Good evening from UD Arena. Good night. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Archers Tavern postgame program with Barney Centner and Dennis Shaw.
You've been listening to Dayton Flyers women's basketball on Information Radio 1660. Thanks to Archers Tavern for underwriting today's game. You can hear a replay of today's game and any other home game from this year's season by visiting our website at radio1660.com. That's radio1660.com.